My name is Jim West. I serve as lead pastor here, but I will not be bringing the message today. I just want to introduce our guest speaker. His name is Craig Howard. He's tall, but he's Christian. Craig came to see me years ago. We had a chance to get to know each other. In 2011, he was just beginning this vision, pursuing this vision called Mission Southside. And I just remember thinking, this man has so much humility, and yet his heart breaks for the things that breaks the heart of God. And so we had a chance to pray together then. Another time I remember so vividly, long before he became a member of a church, he just showed up one day and said, I just feel like God really wants me to pray for you. I guess the reputation it got around town, that little guy needs some prayer. And so I'm so grateful, Craig, that you came to pray for me that day. And so it's been my joy to know him now for many years. It's our joy to partner with Mission Southside all year long, but this year, very specifically, when we come to walk to the manger here in 2 weeks, we always ask you to bring physical gifts. Those physical gifts for children will go to Mission Southside, and Craig will speak to that in a minute. But we also take two very special offerings in addition to our general offering. We take a missions offering for our local ministry partner and a missions offering for our international partner. This year, the missions offering for the local partner is designated for Mission Southside. And so that's why we've invited Craig specifically to come and share his heart and a little bit about that ministry with you today. You're going to get way more than that, by the way. It's a phenomenal message. And then our international partner is one that's very near and dear to my heart, and many of you remember, Indy Gospel League, where we helped plant over 500 churches in 5 years in partnership with Indy Gospel League and some other local churches here in Kansas City. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce my good friend and new church member, Craig Howard. Let's give him a warm colonial welcome.
Well, greetings, Colonial. Won't be needing that. I will be needing this. My voice is not trained professionally like Pastor Jim, so it's just so good to be here with you guys. I had hoped to have had a walk-up song like Jim gets to have with his sermon series. I'd requested Chief's Kingdom, Red Kingdom, and I thought that would have been cool. The lights all go red, and that would have been kind of fun. But it is what it is. It's just great to be with you guys. This is special for Lorinda and I, as Jim said. We became members on August 10th of this year. And so, Lorinda, if you would stand. And so this is our church home. And it's fun to have my son and our daughter-in-law, Katie. So Katie's parents are here as well. So Scott and Sarah, thank you for all the support, all the encouragement that you guys give me and Lorinda. And we get to share a grandson together. So thank you for that. This is special. Colonial is also the home of our Mission Southside warehouse coordinator, Ernest, and his wife, Dorcas, and their three kids. Many of you have gotten to know Ernest and Dorcas and just love them dearly. As well as it's the church home, we've got two former board chairmen as a part of this church. Board members are a part of this church, and obviously a lot of key volunteers. So I like to say that Colonial is becoming Mission Southside in a lot of ways. I want to thank Colonial. Thanks for welcoming Lorinda and I to your church. It was March of 22. Pastor Jim was wrapping up his series in John. He'd been in for 21 years and 9 months. Which is amazing because I think he'd only been at the church like 14 or 15 years at that particular time. It was just before Easter, and the book of John just finished so beautifully right into Easter, and that was our introduction to Colonial. Beautiful. I want to thank you for taking care of my brother-in-law, Pastor Todd Weiland. Some of you didn't even know that, but our wives, Todd's wife Julie and my wife Lorinda, are sisters. So thank you for taking care of Pastor Todd and his family for, I think it's the past 18 years or so they've been a part of Colonial. Thank you for being such encouragers, prayer warriors, ministry partners with Mission Southside. We really appreciate all of you, and we feel those prayers coming up on 13 years. Unbelievable. And then thank you for the thousands, many thousands of toys that you have donated through Walk to the Manger. This will at least be the ninth year. Miss Megan and I, we always forget how many years it is, but at least 9 years where we have been the gift recipients from Walk to the Manger, and we're so thankful for that. And I'll talk more about that in a little bit. Thank you that this year Mission Southside is the recipient, and again, just the generosity of this church, we are grateful. And then lastly, I want to thank my small group. I don't know if any of them are in this service, but I would just put in a plug for small groups here at the church. There's just something about life on life. It's so important today as we navigate life and this world and the difficulties. It's just that small group is just such an important part. So I just encourage you to be a part of that if you aren't one currently. All right. Colonial is kicking off Advent next week. And Advent takes us on a journey that leads us to the birth of Jesus. And this year's theme for Colonial is Journey to Christmas. And this morning, I want to take you on my journey. It's a journey of hope, and it also leads people to Jesus and to the Savior. So it's my honor just to be able to share with you my journey, and invite you into that, and then the journey that we're in together. So let's get started. I'm about to violate a very serious expectation here at the church. I've got one point to my message. And so many of you are saying, well, last time he speaks at this church with one point, this will be like, what is this, a 10-minute message? But there's just one point. So at Mission Southside, we have, we just have one point, and it's one strategy. It's our one priority, and that is help through hope in Christ, new life. And so that's my one point. Our one strategy, our one priority is help through hope in Christ, and that'll be my one point for this message. So at Mission Southside, if it doesn't lead to hope in Christ, if it doesn't lead to the gospel, to the S of the blessed rhythm, the story, if it doesn't lead to that, then we won't do it at Mission Southside. Everyone, including you and me, we can remember one thing. And so that's what we'll stick to this morning. All staff and board members and key volunteers, we are all fully aligned to just one thing, help through hope in Christ, new life. And so I invite you to stand, even though I've only got one point. I've got possibly the longest passage of scripture ever read at Colonial, and we're going to read 12 verses. It's Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 12, and it's from the Message. And so let's read along together. Shout, a full-throated shout. Hold nothing back. A trumpet blast shout. Tell my people what's wrong with their lives. Face my family, Jacob, with their sins. They're busy, busy, busy at worship and love studying all about me. To all appearances, they're a nation of right living people, law-abiding, God-honoring. They ask me, what's the right thing to do? And love having me on their side. But they also complain, why do we fast and you don't look our way? Why do we humble ourselves and you don't even notice? Well, here's why. The bottom line on your fast days is profit. You drive your employees much too hard. You fast, but at the same time, you bicker and fight. You fast, but you swing a mean fist. Fasting you do won't get your prayers off the ground. Do you think this is the kind of fast day I'm after? A day to show humility? To put on a pious long face and parade around solemnly in black? Do you call that fasting a day that I, God, would like? This is the kind of fast day I'm after. To break the chains of injustice, get rid of the exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is share your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, being available to your own families. Do this, and the lights will turn on, and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help, and I'll say, here I am. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sins, if you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. Old rubble of past lives to build upon, renewed foundations from other past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate, making the community livable again. God's blessing attends the reading of his word. You may be seated. God makes it clear to us what pleases him in that passage of scripture. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. We want to talk about those things that please him, the kind of fast and the way of life that truly matters to God. How often in our Christian lives do we actually stop and consider what pleases the Lord? When do we consider what the Lord asks of us? When do we consider what conditions of the heart matters to God? Let's be honest. Does it truly matter what pleases God? In our day-to-day lives, does it matter to us what pleases God? It's an important question. Shouldn't what matters to God matter to us? Some college students found out what matters to God. They took the Bible and they took a highlighter and they highlighted every passage of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, that talked about compassion, justice, injustice, the poor, the forgotten, the marginalized, the least of these, the widow, the orphan, the alien, et cetera, et cetera. They highlighted them, and then they took a pair of scissors and they cut out all those passages. You can imagine what was left. It was just this tattered, it's the heart of God. They cut out the heart of God from God's word. They wrote a book about it called Holes in the Gospel. It's what matters. It's what matters to God. Isaiah 58 gives us a glimpse into what matters to God. This is what matters to God. Break the chains of injustice. Free the oppressed. Defend the weak. Cancel debts. Share your food with the hungry. Take care of the homeless. Clothe the naked. Be available to your own family. Get rid of unfamiliar practices like blaming victims or gossiping. And I love the results. If you'll do that, if you'll do what matters to God, your light will glow in the dark. Our country could use some glowing lights in our world right now, couldn't it? God will give you direction. I love this one. Firm muscles and strong bones is a benefit. I think it's health. Clearly, there's a health benefit to right living, stress-free living, depending on God living, honoring your father and mother living, and do not be anxious about anything living. There's a health benefit to that. It says that you will be an example, a model of the goodness of God. Wow, Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine in such a way that they will see your good deeds, and that will bring glory to God the Father. So what matters to God? What does God ask of us? Matthew 25 paints a little bit of a picture of what matters to God. If you read the end of Matthew 25, it says, on the day of judgment, we're going to be separated, the sheep from the goats. And I'm sure there, who gets to be the sheep and the goats? Well, it goes on to tell us. It says, I was naked, I was sick, I was thirsty, I was hungry, I was in prison, I was a stranger. And he said, Lord, when were you those things? And he said, well, when you helped one of the least of these, it was as if you were doing it unto me. And for you that did that, sheep, eternity is waiting for you. If you did not care for the thirsty and the hungry and the naked and the sick and the imprisoned and the stranger, goat, eternal separation is your eternal destiny. It's the result of doing what matters to God, eternity in heaven. Eternity in heaven. I want to be a part of that. So let me ask this again. Does it even matter to us what pleases God? God knows our heart. Why do we pretend that he doesn't? We pretend to ourselves that we can fool God by doing whatever appears to us as good things, when oftentimes it might be nothing more than filthy rags, a waste of our time, energy, and resources. There are going to be a lot of people standing before God, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. You didn't do what mattered to me. When we do what pleases God, look at the rewards that we can expect. Isaiah 58, we'll be light in the darkness. We'll have direction from God. We'll have an established life. Count me in. Matthew 25 says that we are sheep. It's eternity in heaven. Don't need to remind you, that's a long time. Eternity. So with that as our backdrop and our foundation, that was just the introduction. Had to set the table. I want to pause and remind myself that I'm amongst friends, and I'm sure you're glad that it's me up here and not you. And so let me just pause and let's just invite God into this. Lord, you've been here. We're not inviting you into anything. You've been here. You are here. Thank you for that. God, would you speak to us through your Spirit this morning? Would you speak to me directly? Lord, would you open our hearts to what matters to you? I pray that what matters to you will matter to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me take you on my journey. It's January 2nd, 2011. Coming up on 13 years. Crazy. I'm all alone. It's just me. There's no receptionist. Dale's Collision Repair has graciously given us some office space, about 2,500 square feet. They fix cars in the back portion. But they said, if you guys can use these offices, here they are. I'm sitting there all alone, and I spoke four words that changed my life. Lord, I need you. You see, for 26 years, I'd been in youth ministry. And when you do anything for 26 years, you can just do it. I never, ever in my life remember a time where I consciously thought, Lord, I do not need you. I've got this. Never. I've always known I needed God, but I operated as if I didn't, because I literally could do it. I'm sitting there all alone on January 2nd, 2011, and I have no clue. I don't know what I'm even doing. How did I get to this place? I needed God to show up. A friend of mine walked in, and I was telling her this, Lord, I need you. I have no idea what I'm doing. God, I need you to show up. And she said, Craig, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. So you can be assured that phrase is on my desk, covers up a picture of Aslan, who's on the move, and always reminded, God equips the called. So 12 years, 10 months, 25 days later, God has showed up in ways I could have never imagined. When Jim and I met all those years ago, no idea we'd find ourselves to where we are today. So let me go back a little further. Let me take you back to age 5 on my journey. At age 5, my parents accepted Jesus into their lives, and so that's when my Christian home began. Didn't know what that meant at the time, but I don't remember a whole lot about 5 years old or the years after that, but I know for during that time period and for several years, every time I would walk into the house, I would take the can of Hershey's syrup, and I would just take a few swigs from it. So some of you are in here, and you're like, Hershey's comes in a bottle. What's he talking about, this can thing? How many of you remember the Hershey's can? And how did you have to open that can? Everybody does this. They always do the little can opener. And you had to have two holes because you had to have an air hole for it to go out. And the secret to that is a plastic bottle would have been better because you could literally squirt it into your mouth and your mouth would not have to touch it. But a can of Hershey's syrup, you had to put your mouth over the hole and suck it out of there. And so my family knew none of this until years later. And probably to this day, they're still grossed out about it. Age 7 is when I gave my life to Jesus. This group, the Lowell Lundstrom Crusade, came to my hometown, Boone, Iowa, to the high school. And I remember going forward at the altar call, going behind the curtain and giving my life to Jesus. And I remember going to my elementary school the next day and telling my friends. We were sitting on the monkey bars. Kids don't even know what monkey bars are anymore because they banned them from all existence. Because you would do these monkey fights where you, two people hanging, you wrap your, whoever can wrap their legs around the other person until they drop. Your legs are, so they're falling on their arm, broken arms, you know, it's just, so yeah, no more monkey bars. But I remember telling my friends on the monkey bar sitting on top about this decision that I had made the night before. Changed my life. But not entirely, because when I was 10 years old, I remember there was a grocery store halfway home from my house. I'm walking. That would never happen today in our society. But I'm walking home from school, and I would go in every day, and I would grab a Snickers bar off the shelf, and I'd put it in my pocket, and I would leave. One day, the manager saw me. Hey, you plan on paying for that? I don't have any money. He calls the police. The policeman comes. They take me in his police car. I'm 10 years old. Take me to the police station. My mom has to come to the police station to get me. And she said, Craig, I'll never be able to trust you again. And I committed at that time, 10 years old. Those words will never be spoken by my mom or anybody else. I will be a trustworthy person. 10 years old, Snickers bar, changed my life. At age 15, my family went to Haiti. Mission trip, staying at a mission compound there, and they had some gravity-fed water from a water tower, just gravity-fed down, and you just walk up the side of the hill and sit up on the water tower, great view. I remember sitting up there, and there was a path that led to it, and a Haitian man walked by, and he just put his hand out, thinking I probably have something that he could use. And I remember having a pencil and some coins in my pocket. I don't know why I remember that, but it was as if God spoke to me in an audible voice. It wasn't, but so clear. The impression was so clear. Craig, if your pockets were full of money, you could not ultimately help this man. The only thing that will ultimately help this man is for him to know Jesus. So from age 15 on, I committed my life. Whatever I do, it's going to involve telling people about Jesus. Well, I made it to college 40 plus years ago. Made it to college, and God gifted me with a couple of things. I only get two gifts. I wish I had more, but I could throw things, and I can reach things. I still gives me great joy when I'm at a grocery store and somebody will ask me, can you reach that product off that top shelf? Does my heart well, but I could throw things, and so I got drafted by the Montreal Expos to play baseball. And I was dating Lorinda at the time. We were serious, but not engaged or anything. And they wanted me to go to Jamestown, New York to rookie ball. And so I went to Lorinda and I said, hey, will you go with me on this baseball journey? Like, that's my most romantic wedding proposal ever, don't you think? And she said, no. She said, God put on my heart to go into full-time Christian ministry. I have a calling to do that. And so she said, it's better to trust God than to enjoy life. Wow. Well, God had also put a calling on my heart at 15. And so 26 years after that, we got married for 26 years, youth ministry. We were involved in youth ministry. We were involved in, for 17 of those 26, 17 plus years at a church here in Olathe. And at that time, Ryan Kappel and I were the longest tenured youth pastors in the Kansas City metro area. And we were like, who's going to last the longest? And it was, I think it turned out to be almost equal. He had been a youth pastor a couple of years ahead of me, but I think I was a youth pastor a couple of years after he became the youth pastor at Leawood Prez. 26 years in youth ministry. For 7 years leading up to Mission Southside, I started to feel that something was missing. Didn't know what it was, but it was the summer of 2010, and my wife and I went with our youngest son, Nate, to Mission Arlington. Lots of you have been to Mission Arlington, and I think there were some years where Colonial and Olathe Bible Church were at Mission Arlington at the same time. But while I was there, while we were there, one of their leaders told the story from Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. A man is talking to Jesus, and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's an important question. Jesus says, what do you think the answer is? I'm going to go with that great commandment. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The great commandment. Jesus says, you've spoken correctly. Do that, and you will live. And the man thought, I get the love God part. Probably could do it better, but I understand that. But he said, who's my neighbor? And so Jesus told a story. He said, on a bright Sunday morning, a truck was driving down a road, pulling a trailer with a nice fishing boat. I had to throw this in there for Jim's benefit. Unbeknownst to the driver, the entire trailer came unhitched and crashed into the ditch. A Baptist minister came upon the crashed boat, but he was late for church, so he drove on by. An elder came upon the accident, and he also noticed the boat, but since it was the Sabbath, he also kept on driving. Then Pastor Jim came upon the boat on his way to preaching one of his amazing sermons. Jim slammed on his brakes. His heart ached due to the condition of the boat. He backed his truck up to the trailer, drove it to the marina, gave the boat mechanic some money, and said he would come back next week to check to see if anyone had claimed the boat. So I had to have a little fun. Since Pastor Jim puts a fishing something into every message, I had to work it in there somehow. But actually, you guys, who's my neighbor is not a joking matter. The actual story is, a man was walking down the road. Some thieves jumped out. They beat this man. They robbed him. They stripped him naked. They left him for dead. It says that a priest walked by. Had to have seen him. Kept on walking. Another religious person, a Levite, came. The Levite saw the man. Had to have. Walked around him. Kept on going. It says that a Samaritan, a bitter enemy of that Jewish man, came upon him. That's where I'll pick up that story in just a second. The leader in Mission Arlington then took us to James chapter 2. And in James chapter 2, it says, if you're guilty of breaking half of the royal law, then you're guilty of breaking the entire law. And it says in James chapter 2, just so there's no confusion about what I'm talking about the part about loving your neighbor. You can't love your neighbor without loving God. You can't love God without loving your neighbor. That's what was missing for me. For 7 years, something was missing. That's what it was. I knew Mission Southside needed to happen. So I describe it this way. I'm standing on a high dive, and I'm looking down into the pool, and there's water. But I don't know if that water is a couple of inches deep or if that water is several feet deep. What's going to happen when I jump? God's mercy, His grace, I don't know, both. We started to pray. On Tuesday nights, there would be 8 of us, there would be 10 of us, 15, 30 of us. We would pray, Lord, what do you want? What do you want done? What do you want us to do? What would you have us do? And person after person kept coming up to me and saying, Craig, now's the time. Our community needs this. Pastor after pastor, our church needs a place to serve. We're behind you. This has to happen. And so God, in His mercy, He just started to raise the water, and the water has continued to rise. I knew I was jumping. I jumped. I might do a belly flop. I might land on my back, but I knew I wasn't going to die, and I thank the Lord for that. So let's go back to January 2nd. Lord, I need you. God, I need you to show up. I love the story about the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Jesus is speaking to 5,000 people. Maybe it's 10, 15. I've heard some say there could have been over 30,000 people. But the Bible says 5. That's a big number. Let's go with 5. They've been listening to Jesus all day. The disciples, hey, they're hungry. Jesus says, well, give them something to eat. We don't have anything. Jesus says to them, what do you have? What do you have? Wow. That's all we have. I don't have what you have. You don't have what I have. Jesus doesn't care. He says, what do you have? Well, we got this boy here. He brought his lunch. It's 5 little bread cakes, 2 fish. That's nothing. I could eat that and not be full. It's nothing until Jesus took it, blessed it. They fed those 5,000 to the full, and 12 baskets of blessings came back. 12 baskets of bread, I call them blessing, came back. That's what happens when God shows up. So God showed up. Now we're 13 staff, thousands of volunteers, 350 families impacted weekly through direct relationship. People are getting saved and baptized. I'm talking about Muslims getting saved and baptized. Hispanic community saved and baptized. 2 incredible free facilities near downtown Olathe. Favor with the faith community. Remember, it's a place to serve and to build kingdom. Favor with the other helps agencies, including the schools and the city of Olathe. God has showed up. So we just have one thing, one single priority, help through hope in Christ. Our little mission statement is putting God's love into action as we extend help through hope in Christ. So help, yes, those physical needs. We must help people. You know, diapers, food, clothing, beds, furniture, homework help. So many physical needs that people have. We must help with those. But it's through hope in Christ. And hope is the gospel, the good news, the new life in Christ, salvation, assurance of eternal life. Let me go back to walk to the manger. You want to know what happens each year to those toys that you bring to walk to the manger? On that Sunday, many of you have asked me, what do you do with all these toys? This is awesome, because I get an opportunity to share with you prior to you giving the toys. After 350 or more sets of parents pick out their toys for all of their kids, and they get their stocking stuffers and their hats and their gloves and their mittens and their roll of quarters and their laundry detergent, each set of parents sits down face to face with a Hispanic pastor or one of our Muslim missionaries. and they're told the story of Jesus. And they are invited into meeting the Savior. Every year, 20 to 35 of those parents say yes to the Savior. So when you bring those toys, you're not bringing toys just for the joy and the thrill that they will experience playing with that toy, which they will and do. But you are changing, literally, you are transforming entire families through the gospel because of the toys that brought those parents to our Christmas store. So this year, when you come to Walk to the Manger, I want you to think about that. These toys can change entire families. Amen? So our board has mandated that hope permeates every aspect of Mission Southside. Has to permeate every aspect, or we don't do it. If it doesn't do that, then we're just not going to be a part of it. And if it does, we're going to do it without hesitation. And why do we do that? Because that's what matters to God. God wishes that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance and receive eternal life. Mission Southside will not be guilty of loving people into hell because all we did was help them with their physical needs. We can do that. We can be so loving. We can be so helpful. But we want to make sure that, yes, we are helpful, but it is through hope in Christ. So that's my journey. Age 5, Hershey, 7, monkey bars, Snicker bar, Haiti. I love, no, it's better to trust God than to enjoy life. Something's missing. That's my journey. But we all share the same journey. We are all a part of the great co-mission. Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all I have commanded them, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. We're in that together. We are all on the journey of keeping the great commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The answer to the question of what must I do to inherit eternal life, and what do I need to be a sheep, is the gospel. It was answered partly in the story of the Good Samaritan. It's God, it's loving God and loving others. So the Samaritan man, there's three things that he did. It says, first, he saw him. You've got to see it, and I didn't. I ministered to white, middle-income teenagers and their families. I did not see the devastation. I did not see the bleeding, naked, mostly bleeding people lying all around. The devastation that was all around us. I invite you to see it. So I invite you to come to Mission Southside, be a part of a windshield tour. Some of you have. It's just a great way to see the community through the eyes of what God is doing. I encourage you to come help us out with our food co-op on Friday mornings, where we get the food from Cisco and it goes to 200 different families. What a blessing that is. Or you can go online and check out our website for all the different opportunities that you've got to be able to see it. But we must do like the Good Samaritan. We have to see it. It says that his heart broke. He had compassion. Your heart needs to break. It's not okay if our heart doesn't break for the things that breaks God's heart. That's not okay. Lord, of all the commandments, the disciples asked him, there's 600 of them. Which one is the greatest? I can't keep them all, but I'd like to keep the greatest one. Love God, love others. The great commandment. From Genesis to Revelation, God's heart is for the widow, the orphan, the alien, that outsider, the person from a different land. Olathe is the fastest growing Hispanic community in the state of Kansas. The I-35 corridor comes up out of Mexico. There is opportunity in Johnson County, and this is where they are. This is where they are settling. They're outsiders. It's for the least of these, the poor, the forgotten, the marginalized. That's God's heart, and he demands that your heart breaks for them as well. And then number three, the Good Samaritan took action. It's the natural result of a broken and compassionate heart. Yes, the Good Samaritan gave some money to the guy, at least to the innkeeper, but he also gave himself in service to this naked, bleeding, mostly dead, bitter enemy lying on the side of the road. And nothing less is asked of each of us. Your money is a blessing, and your money is necessary for kingdom advancement. But God wants more than just your money. God requires your heart, a heart of compassion. My dad said, "Craig, when your heart is right, the techniques will take care of themselves." We've got to make sure our heart is right, and the techniques will follow. God requires action. We are his hands and his feet. So first, we must see the need, see what God sees, the devastation. 25,000 homes go to bed hungry every night in Johnson County. It's a lot. 25,000 homes. The school districts in Johnson County have identified 1,100 homeless students, which means they don't have a permanent address. On any given Sunday in the Kansas City metro, only 20% of the people attend church of any kind, good, bad, or indifferent. Church is not even a part of their radar. In the North American continent, Canada, U.S., Mexico, the largest mosque is being built at 163rd and Row. You can drive by it today. There's lots of devastation. That doesn't count families and marriages and just all kinds of devastation. And that's just here. Imagine around the world. Lord, we must help us to see it. Second, your heart needs to break. And third, we need to take action. Whatever breaks your heart will capture your attention, and you will take action. Whatever captures your heart, you will take action on that. If fishing captures your heart, you will fish. Whatever captures your heart, you will take action on. And the heart of God is no joke. God's desire for his followers to be sheep and not goats is a serious matter. Matthew said it's actually an eternal matter. The hurting, the dying, the least of these, the widow, the orphan, the alien, the poor, the forgotten, the marginalized, these matter to God. I could take you to passages throughout the Bible, but in Deuteronomy, there's several passages about this. One passage, it says that if you ignore the needs of the widow, the orphan, the alien, I'm going to place curses on your head that you never even imagined. Deuteronomy 27:19 says, "Cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the alien, the orphan, or the widow." Is that true? Curses? What captures your heart? What is important to you? Is what's important to you important to God? Let me ask it this way. Is what's important to God important to you? Pray for eyes to see. I pray. Don't give me the eyes of the priest or the Levite. I had that heart. I had that heart. I had those eyes. I had the eyes of the priest. I was that religious person. I didn't see it. Pray for a broken heart, a heart of compassion, the heart of God. Help my heart to break for the same things that breaks the heart of God. And pray for the boldness to take action, to be used by God to do whatever is necessary, whatever it takes. Here I am, Lord, use me. So, if you desire to care about what God cares about, if you want your heart to break for the things that breaks God's heart, stand to your feet right now. If you desire to care about what God cares about, if you want your heart to break for the things that breaks God's heart, stand to your feet. Look around. This is a lot of 5 loaves and 2 fish that are standing. Might feel like nothing. What do I have? God said, give me what you have. Let's give our 5 loaves and our 2 fish to God. So make no mistake about it, church. Standing will cost you something. It costs the boy his lunch. This is going to cost you. This is not a small thing that you're doing by standing. It will demand a sacrifice of your time or your talent or your treasure, and most likely all three. By standing, you are making an allegiance to God's kingdom. When we do the Pledge of Allegiance, we stand and we put our hand over our heart. We're standing today in allegiance to God's kingdom. Not Chief's kingdom, not your kingdom, to God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's going to cost us. Anybody want to sit down? And let's go. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for just the opportunity to be your hands and feet. What an honor, what a privilege. But God, we have to see it. Our heart has to break. And then, Lord, help us to take action, to do whatever it takes. Lord, thank you for these 5 loaves and these 2 fish, multiplied hundreds of times. But God, we give it to you, and we ask you to multiply it beyond what we could ever even ask or imagine. And it's to that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.